Jeff Shapiro joins us now from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his Friday morning analysis of the Virginia political news, as he does each Friday morning here on WCVE's broadcast of Morning Edition. Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne.
Well, we have a debt ceiling agreement, at least temporarily, but states and localities could begin feeling the impact of reduced federal spending, which is part of the deal.
There are a lot of possible scenarios, all of which are pretty grim. What we're looking at clearly are some deep cuts, not just on the human services side of the budget, but potentially very deep on the defense side of the budget. And, of course, that could ripple through the Virginia economy. The bigger problem, of course, is this continuing threat of a possible downgrade in Virginia's bond rating. The rating agencies have said debt deal notwithstanding, because of the dependence of Virginia and several other states on federal largesse, this could be a real problem, making their paper a lot riskier, also driving up the cost of going into the bond markets. Of course, that eventually falls to the taxpayers, who have to pay off the principal and the interest. This has got to be making Governor McDonald nervous, the General Assembly as well. And remember, we've already gone through a lot of budget cuts. This governor has cut and shuffled about $6 billion. And then on top of all of this, you know, there's thunder on the left. The Commonwealth Institute for Fiscal Analysis warning that the budget for the approaching two-year spending cycle will be at least $800 million short as a result of the fading flow of stimulus dollars to Virginia, and also this continuing sputtering in the economy. And not surprisingly, there are some people saying now it's time to look at the revenue side, read higher taxes.
Mm-hmm. And as you said, the state bond rating is in jeopardy with Virginia being so dependent on the federal installations and federal employment.
Exactly. In fact, it's been suggested that when one looks at personal income in Virginia, that 45%, this is from the Commonwealth Institute, of all personal income in Virginia is tied to some form of federal spending. You know, we're pretty dependent on the folks next door.
Well, of course, there's an impact on stateside politics. It's hard to believe that next year's Senate election is that far away, because Tim Kaine, the Democratic candidate who is running without opposition for his party's nomination, and George Allen, who does have some opposition from several candidates for the GOP nomination, they're going at it hot and heavy, and of course they're being forced almost to take stands on the debt crisis.
Yeah, and for George Allen, this appears to be a flip-flop. He came out against the debt deal. He insisted that it include a balanced budget amendment. Remember, four times as a United States senator, he voted to raise the debt limit over $3 trillion, but this is a different George Allen running in a very different political climate. He's clearly trying to cozy up to the Tea Party crowd, even though these polls suggest that he's comfortably ahead for the Republican nomination. This is being used as a sign, particularly by the Democrats, that somehow George Allen is extreme and fiscally irresponsible. And he's been popped on a couple of the editorial pages for this, most notably the Washington Post.
Mm-hmm.
As for Kaine, here's a chance to maybe appear somewhat mainstream and loyal to Obama. That might be a bit counterintuitive given the president's presumed unpopularity. But, you know, Kaine can't run from Obama. Obama appointed him head of the DNC. But maybe here's a chance for Kaine to talk about that balanced approach. There's that term again, cutting spending, but also doing something on the revenue side, read taxes. This was his approach as governor, though the House Republicans made sure he did not raise taxes.
Okay, we have 2 minutes to go, Jeff. What do you make of that poll matching Ken Cuccinelli and Bill Bowling for the 2013 race, if they do run against each other?
It's a poll by a Democratic organization, Public Policy Polling. What it really says is that Ken Cuccinelli has kind of harnessed the passions of the Republican base. This was evident when he was running for Attorney General back in 2009. And this poll indicates that he would easily dispatch Bill Bowling, the lieutenant governor, for the Republican nomination for governor, were it to come to a contest. Cuccinelli isn't saying what he's going to do. He has the luxury of time. He can wait until after the presidential election. And if he deems Boling insufficiently strong to protect the governorship for the Republican Party, perhaps he'll take him on then. And, of course, Boling's fortunes are tied to Bob McDonald's, Boling running as the heir apparent. And then this ultimately becomes a test of should there be a Cuccinelli-Boling fight. This ultimately is a test of the governor's political polling power, since he has made it clear his preference is Boling.
Mm-hmm. We have just a few seconds, and it came out this week that Bill Boling would be Mitt Romney's campaign chairman in Virginia in the presidential contest. And Cuccinelli is starting a series of one-on-one interviews with Capitol reporters, apparently trying to get friendly with media leading up to whatever he may be contemplating in his political future.
Yes, making friends for down the road, though Ken Cuccinelli has never had a problem generating press.
All right. Time's just about gone, Jeff, so we'll say so long for this time, and I'll talk to you again next Friday morning here on Morning Edition on WCVE. Thanks, Jeff.
Roger that.
It's 8:40.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. More than once in this program, we've heard references to governments running short of bullets to deal with a weak economy. Jim Tankersley of the National Journal has been asking, though, what Congress could pass to fight unemployment and economic weakness in the months ahead. He's in our studios. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Your starting argument, I should point out, though, is that Congress keeps talking about jobs, but that they actually blew their chance to do something over the summer.
Right. Yeah, they just spent the last 3.5 months basically focusing on a problem that they created themselves, which was whether or not to raise the debt ceiling. And in that time, things got very bad in the economy. A bunch of data went south. They didn't deal with it. And now it's time for the president, for Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and the Republican leaders, John Boehner and Mitch McConnell, to sit down and devote the exact same sort of attention to the jobs problem that they have devoted to the debt problem.
Although we should point out, as you do, that there doesn't seem to be widespread political support for massive, massive spending at this moment, as there was in 2009.
Absolutely not. No, I think that big spending initiatives are basically off the table.
So what is on the table?
Well, what should be on the table are a variety of things. I'm not sure anything's on the table right now. This is part of the problem. They're just not talking about it. But you could do some very creative things that could get some bipartisan support.
Such as?
Such as a free trade grand bargain, as I put it. Mm-hmm. You could pass the outstanding free trade agreements with Colombia, South Korea, and Panama, mm-hmm. and you could couple that with a serious crackdown on China's currency manipulation, which is something liberals want.
Because Republicans want the free trade agreements, and you say liberals want the crackdown on China. Didn't the Senate leaders, Harry Reid and Mitch McConnell, actually this week agree on some framework to consider these free trade agreements?
Right, that they'll start moving those. And the important thing is, if you move those quickly and actually start opening up those markets, but you also do something about currency, then you could really start creating a lot of jobs fairly soon.
Fairly soon. This is something that could actually make a big difference in this economic cycle that we're in right now.
I mean, I think within the next year, particularly if you could really do something about, you know, China buying more of our exports would be one of the best things you could do. Exports have been a strength of this recovery. And if you could make that